Thank you, Brandy. Open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. The title of the message here this morning is A Biblical View of a Righteous Man. A Biblical View of a Righteous Man. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1 says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Father, we pray as your people, as we hold your word, the living word of God, in our hands. Father, I thank you that your word is true and powerful. I thank you, Lord, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, I thank you that we can depend upon your word and trust in it, Lord. And Father, bless your word here this morning to our hearts. Father, I pray I'd be a vessel full of the Spirit that brings glory and honor to your holy name. So, Lord, bring glory to your name. And Father, I pray that each one that's here would be attentive to your word and have a tender heart toward it. So increase our faith, our hope, and our love in thee, and we'll give you thanks and bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A biblical view of a righteous man. Our nation needs more righteous men in it, men that will know right from wrong, good from bad, light from darkness, and that will live a life that makes a difference in our land. Our jails are overflowing with people who have not kept the laws of our land and have broken our laws and been put in jail. But we need some righteous men, and God has given us things to help us be a righteous person. Now, a righteous man does not mean you're without sin. When Jesus was speaking to the rich young ruler, he said, "There's none good but God only. God is the only one that's the ultimate goodness and perfect perfection." To be a righteous man doesn't mean you have no sin in your life, but it means that you walk so close to God that God knows your sins, but others can't see it. That's called being a blameless life, that you're living a life that you desire to have God's righteousness in your life. You desire to be like him. Now, if God is righteous and you want to be like God, you're going to be close to him. You want to be like him. You want to be a righteous man. You want to do what's right in God's sight. Now, with that being said, does God have a standard? He has a standard of morality and righteousness. Well, what has God given to us that helps us be a righteous person? If I want to be a biblical righteous man, what has God given to me? Well, look in verse 1. "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." You know, God gives us a conscience. In verse 1, what is the first thing God gives to us? A conscience. Now, what was chasing the wicked man in verse 1? What was chasing him? No one. Something was chasing him, though. What was it? His conscience was chasing him. See, his conscience was chasing. I remember Elmer Towns telling a story years ago when he was a little boy. He stole something out of the neighborhood store, five and dime store. And walking home, every car that came down the road, he would just jump in the bushes or hide behind a tree. Why did he do that as a little boy? His conscience was bothering him. He knew that he'd stolen something, and he thought everybody knew about it. The wicked flee when no man pursues because their conscience is chasing them. But the righteous, those that honor their conscience, those that listen to what the inner voice of God is speaking in their hearts, are bold as a lion. You have courage because you're not afraid of law enforcement. Now, if the truth be told, if you're driving down the road and you look at your rearview mirror and you see a policeman in your rearview mirror, does your foot automatically go to the brake? Yes or no? Okay, because you go, your foot goes to the brake, and the next thing, your eye goes to the speedometer to make sure you weren't what? Speeding. That's a reflex, because we don't want to get in trouble. The wicked flee when no man pursues, because they have a guilty conscience and heart. But the righteous are bold. God's given you a conscience. Now, a conscience is a gift from God. And you want to have a conscience that's tender to God. Tender to God. So what has God given us to help us be righteous? A consciousness. That's that spark of divinity that's in each of us as creatures of God's creation. They were made in the image of God, and we have that conscience. God gives us a conscience to be a righteous person. When you have a good conscience, you have no fear. When you have a good conscience, you can live a life that is free from fear. Now, a lion is as bold as a lion. When they're in a lion is like not afraid, so to speak. They call the king of the beast. And we ought to have that spirit about us that we have confidence in who we are as God's people and what God has done for us. We ought to have that confidence. So what has God given to us? Number one, he's given us a conscience. Verse 2 says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. People that live a righteous life and people that live a wicked life, those leaders that God has given to us in verse 2, if the leaders are wicked, many of the princes thereof. One administration changes to another because God punishes the wicked and prolongs the righteous. For the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof. It just keeps changing administrations and changing programs. Now, David Barton brought this out. America's Constitution is hundreds of years old. And all around the world, there are nations that have gone through one constitution after another constitution after another constitution. Every year that comes around for our Constitution to have its anniversary is another year that shows the wisdom of our forefathers. A man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. That's been our nation. Our forefathers gave us a constitution. They had the consciousness toward God to know right from wrong and good from bad. What has God given us to be a righteous man? A conscience. And that conscience plays out in the nation and the affairs of God's people and how a nation lives. Verse 3 says, a poor man that oppresses the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. A poor man that oppresses the poor. You know, there are people that are so unrighteous that if they don't have anything, they're going to make sure you don't have anything. Even when you don't have anything, they're going to make sure you don't get anything, because if you get something that they don't have, they're jealous about it, and they want to make sure that you don't get one step ahead of them. A poor man that oppresses the poor. If I can't have anything, you're not going to have anything either, is very destructive. That's not God's ways as a righteous man. A righteous man will look at a situation and see, what can he do to help somebody? I don't tear other people down to make myself look better. I don't oppress other people so that they stay down. If I can't move up, I'm not going to let them move up either. A righteous person. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God wants us to be generous people and good people. God's given us a conscience, how we should treat one another. Well, look at verse 4. What else has God given us? He's given us a conscience. He wants us to be righteous. That still small voice that says, this is a way, and walk ye in it. Verse 4 says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. Now, what has God given to us to help us be a righteous person? Now, he's given us a conscience, but he also has given us commandments. And what do the commandments do? Give me one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt. Okay, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is that a good commandment? If you obey that, will that help you be a righteous person? If you obey that. How about thou shalt not commit adultery? Will that help you be a righteous person? God's given us his, he's given us a conscience. First thing. Second thing, he's given us commandments because some people don't listen to their conscience. Some people's conscience is defiled. Some people's conscience is hardened. So he gives us commandments. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. Those that push God's commandments aside are wicked people. And guess what? Wicked people like wicked people because they can identify with each other. Birds of a feather flock together. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. They understand their methods and their operations. But such as keep the law, is that a righteous person? But if such as keep the law, that's a righteous man. They're ever listening to God. God, what do you want me to do? Now, a righteous person surrenders to God's will in their life. If God says it, I'm going to do it because God says it. I want to be a righteous person. But such as keep the law, that's a righteous person. What did they do to those that don't keep the law? What's those last three words in verse 4? But as such as keep the law, contend with what? Them. Hey, you know the law, you know the commandments, you know the righteousness. Now, thou shalt not kill. Is that in the Bible? Is a baby in the womb a human being? If a baby in the womb's a human being, and the Bible says thou shalt not kill, should we contend with those who want to promote abortion? Should we contend with them? We contend with them because it's not right. And people that know God, they draw a line saying, hey, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and this is not right. A biblical view of a righteous man, they contend for righteousness. They fight for righteousness. God gives us a conscience, but he gives us commandments too. And there's wicked people that forsake the law. And what do we do as God's people? We contend with them. How long do we contend with them? As long as it takes. Is there a rest coming for the people of God one day? Is there a rest coming? There is. But right now, this is not time to rest. We're in a battle for righteousness. As a righteous man, you're in a battle for righteousness. Is there a lot of wicked people in our land? They are. And they want to take our nation in a direction that is not good. And as a righteous person, you have to say within yourselves, you cannot say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. If it's not bothering me, I don't care. You better care because it's not right. And a righteous person contends with the wicked. Now, there are those that forsake the law. They don't care what God says. They have no fear of God before their eyes. They forsake it. But like the farmer put on his barn one time, at the end of the road, you're going to meet God. Is that a true statement for everybody that's walked on this earth? They're going to meet God one day. And they that forsake the law, they praise the wicked. Gay Pride Week, is that praising the wicked? Is it? It is. It is. God calls that an abomination. We see that everywhere in our culture. They praise the wicked. A righteous person. A biblical view of a righteous man. What has God given us to be righteous? He's given us the law. And what does a biblical righteous man do us? He contends with them. He contends with them. Now, you have a good conscience toward God. You're keeping his commandments. The culture says this. How about Jack Phillips? Should he have a right to make a cake after the dictates of his own heart with his religious beliefs? Does he have a right? Yes. He does. Is he contending with them right now? He is contending. And they're relentless on him. They're not giving up. They want to crush him. But should a righteous man contend with them and make a stand? A righteous man should. He should make a stand and contend with them. I don't care how much praise the wicked gets, if it's sin, it's still sin, period. I don't care how much praise they get. And I'd rather be one with God and have all the culture on this side of the wicked. But if I'm on God's side, one with God is a majority. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right in God's sight that they receive the praise of the world. But such as keep the law, God's people, the believers, contend with them. The Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. Now, when we're contending for righteousness as God's people, what are the stakes? What is the rewards? Is it right for an adoption agency to place a child in a home where there are two men married together? Is that a right thing to do? Is there a lot of pressure for people to concede and compromise in this nation? Is there a lot of pressure put on people to concede and compromise? God would have us to contend, not compromise. God would have us to contend, not concede to people. Now, what does God want us to do as a righteous person? We keep the law. What does the Bible say? What is God's opinion of it? What does God have to say about it? A righteous man wants to know what God has to say. They keep the law. They keep the scriptures. Verse 5, evil men understand not justice, judgment. They don't understand it. Have you ever been frustrated when you see a situation in the political arena and you know somebody did something, they're just so wrong, but they never go to justice for that? Does that frustrate you? Because it's not what? Right. If they've broken the laws of our land, they've lied under oath, or they've done whatever they have done that has not kept the laws of our land, does that bother you? It should. Because as a righteous person, you see that these things aren't right. That justice is not being served. But guess what? Evil men understand not justice or judgment. They think, oh, we got our way. We're good to go. But they that seek the Lord, that's a righteous person. They that seek the Lord understand all things. They see it from God's point of view. They see what God has to say about it. And they seek God. He's given us a conscience. He's given us commandments. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Now, the pressure to compromise your values and your convictions. If you could do something that would enrich you, but it was unethical or illegal, would you do that to be rich? Do you know what I'm saying? That people have these opportunities to make money. It's just so hard not to go political sometimes. I don't want to go there. But I've heard people who have been our leaders that go speak somewhere and get $500,000 to speak. Who in the world is worth $500,000 to speak? That to me is a little unethical, because I feel you're being paid off at some extent to get your influence in whatever they want. And we as God's people, we don't enrich ourselves and compromise our values and our uprightness. Better is the poor that walketh in his what? Uprightness, his integrity. Don't compromise your righteousness to make a dollar. Don't compromise what is right to get ahead in the world. Scripture says, what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his own what? His own soul. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Is money worth that much that you'll deny God and cheat your neighbor and be dishonest in your dealings just so you can make a dollar? A righteous man says, no, I will not. I'd rather be poor and have my uprightness than to be rich and be perverse in my ways and wicked and evil. A righteous man clings to his righteousness, even when he's tempted not to. See, the commandment there is played out in verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, discerning. Now, if you keep God's word, God calls you wise and discerning. Is there a judgment day coming for the wicked? Will they escape? No, they will not escape. You're very wise to be righteous. You're very wise to think about ahead what's coming down the line. Whoso keepeth the scriptures, the law, the word of God is a wise person, discerning. That's a righteous person. They keep the scriptures. They do what God says because God said it. They lean into God. But he that is a companion of gluttons, riotous men, shames his father. That's a wicked person. That's not a righteous person. He that by usury and unjust gain increase his substance, he shall gather for him that will pity the poor. First is conscience, second is commandments, the third is consequences. He that by usury, interest rates, and unjust gain, extortion, increase his wealth, his possessions, he shall gather for him that will pity the poor. In other words, all you work for in your life, who are you going to leave it to? You get all this whatever, and when you die, who are you leaving it to? You know, there's consequences for what we do. God gives us a conscience. He gives us commandments, but the consequences are God's way of saying, you're going too far here. What's a consequence? In verse 8, the consequence is you lose everything you've given your whole life for, and God will turn it around and bless those that you have walked over. What's a consequence in verse 9? He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Okay, what's a dialogue? Okay, if two people are having communication, if I'm speaking to one person, they're talking back to me, we're having a dialogue, back and forth, communicating. God speaks to me, and I'm not listening. And then all of a sudden, I pray to God, and God says, wait a minute here. You didn't hear me when I was talking to you. Why should I listen to you when you talk to me? Because that's the idea there in verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, God's speaking. He's reading from the scriptures, and God says, this is a righteous man. This is how I want you to live. This is what I want you to do. And this is my desire for your life. This is my will for your life. And you say, I'm not doing that. And then you get in a bad situation, and you pray to God, and God says, wait a minute here. You're not listening to me, and I'm not going to listen to you. He that turneth away his ear from the law, even his prayer shall be what? Abomination. God says, you've got to be kidding me. You want me to listen to you and you won't listen to me? Now, for a righteous man, for those that know God, is 1 John 1:9 still in the Bible? See, if we as a righteous person, we may fall 7 times, but God can lift us up again. And even though as a righteous person, we can not always hit a home run in our life, so to speak, before we pray, we can say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Does God hear that prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then our prayers can be opened up. God says, I understand, and I forgive you. But he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Now, for a righteous person, it doesn't mean we're sinless. There's none righteous. There's none to do with good. No, not one. None of us are perfect, but it's a way of life we have about ourselves. We want to know the scriptures. We want to have a good conscience. We want to keep the commandments. We want to avoid the consequences of disobedience. God chastens every son he receives. We want to avoid that in our lives. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, what God has said, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That's a consequence. How does God help us to be righteous? He puts these things into effects in our lives. Verse 10, whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, are there people that want to pervert, distort, move along out of the path of righteousness, those that know and love God? Sure. In China, the churches that are government run, they had a freedom. At a time, they had in the Chinese churches there, the government churches, they had a time where they could preach their sermon. But of late, guess what? The Chinese president says that now you must take my messages and preach them in your Sunday morning sermons. Whoso causes the righteous, God's people, to go in an evil way, not hearing your word, him himself shall fall into his own pit. But the upright, the righteous one, shall have good things in his possession. An evil person is trying to push people away from God. A righteous person is trying to move people toward God. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, his own opinion, his own eyes. But the poor that has understanding, a righteous person, searches him out. There are those people that they don't care about righteousness. The only thing they care about is how they look to each other, how they appear in other people's eyes, and wise in their own conceit, wise in their own eyes, wise in their own thinking. But a righteous person, whether you be poor or no, has understanding. You know the ways of God. You consider that, and you think about that that's not the way God would have me be. Verse 12, when the righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden, or a man is sought out. People flee from the wicked. A man is sought out. So if you want to be a righteous person, look at verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not what? Prosper. But whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have what? Mercy. Is that a verse for a righteous person? Is that a verse that a righteous person needs? Because as a righteous person, it doesn't mean that we're always get everything right all the time. But it means when it comes to the scriptures, I want to do what's in them. Now, the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, he says, the will that I will to do, I do what? Not. He knew that the struggle that was inside of him to be righteous, but he had that desire, I want to be a righteous man. In verse 13, a righteous person doesn't cover their sins. A righteous person, if they're caught in something they shouldn't be doing, should they lie to get out of it? Should they lie? No. If they're caught, what should they do? Confess it. I'm the one. I did this. I'm sorry. It was shameful. It was wrong. And will you forgive me? That's a righteous person. As righteous people, do we make mistakes? Do we sin? We do. But when we are confronted with our sins, we confess them and we ask God to forgive us. When Peter denied the Lord three times, do you remember in the scriptures where it says that him and Jesus caught eyes, he looked in and saw him? What did Peter do right after that? He went out and wept what? Bitterly. You know, I think Peter saw himself in verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. When he went out and wept bitterly, he saw where he should have been as a righteous person. He should have been standing with God and not denying him. And he saw his own humanity and he hated it. And when he went out and wept bitterly, he was confessing his sins. We don't want to cover our sins to be a righteous person. A righteous person is honest and truthful all the time. Answer this yes or no. Is honesty the best policy? It is. To tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Just be honest. If you've done something wrong, and you're confronted, yes, I did that. Because if you deny it, it can only get what? Worse for you. You can dig a bigger hole for yourself. But whoso confesses, you tell God, I'm sorry. What's that and what? What's that next word? Forsaketh. See, that's repentance. If you confess but don't forsake, then you just had remorse that you got caught. You didn't have a changed heart. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You want to be a righteous person? You want to be a righteous man? Then you confess and you forsake. And if you confess and you forsake, you shall have what? Mercy. You have the mercies of God in your life to be a righteous person. Conscience, commandments, consequences. God's given us all these things to be a righteous person. Verse 14, happy is a man that feareth what? Always. That's a righteous person. You fear God. You want to do what God says because God said it. Happy is a man that feareth always. But he that hardeneth, that's a wicked person, harden his heart, shall fall into trouble. That's a wicked person. A righteous man. Are you a righteous man? If it was just you and God in the room and God looked at you, would you feel acceptance? Would you feel condemnation? Would there be anything you would have to confess? Or anything you have to forsake? Let's be men and women of righteousness. Have a good conscience. Keep the commandments. And avoid the consequences in our lives. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have looked at what it means to be a righteous man, I pray, Lord, that we as God's people would live in such a way that honors you always. We'd have a good conscience toward man and toward God. That we would keep your commandments, Lord. That we'd live in such a way that honors you. And that, Lord, we'd avoid the consequences that come to those who don't walk in your ways. But, Lord, even though we may sin, we can confess and forsake them, God, because in doing so, we shall have the mercies of God in our lives. Father, thank you that you're a good God. You've given all these things to us to help us be righteous in your sight. And Lord, we know there's none righteous, no, not one. None of us are as good as you. But in our earthly pilgrimage, may we be as much like you as we can in righteousness and right living and right thinking and right attitudes and right behaviors and right desires. Lord, help us toward this end to be righteous men and women in a world of wicked people, God. Lord, may we be separate. May we be high and holy and lifted up unto thee, and to honor the name of our great God. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.